you get your podcasts.
At 6:05 in Des Moines, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 70 degrees, a northeast wind at 5 miles an hour, 85% humidity, pressure steady at 29.95. Again in Des Moines at 6:06, mostly cloudy, 70 at News Radio 1040 WHO.
A fee has been paid for the editorial content of the following program. This is News Radio 1040 WHO. A fee has been paid by the Animal Rescue League for the editorial content of the following program. This is News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to ARL Animal Connection. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Mick. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Yourself?
I am good. I'm good.
It's going to be another warm one.
It is. Yeah. It was such a nice week. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, I like it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Fresh mornings.
And then it went to, it's going to be 90-some today with high humidity.
The two H's.
Yeah, and the third would be H for my hair, because when the humidity is high, my hair is huge.
I thought it was for haze, but
no, it's really hair.
Yeah, see, I don't have that problem, so keep it short.
Yeah, I feel like people are like, oh, you have curly hair. And I was just like, yeah, and I have so much gel on this hair right now because it would be huge. The humidity, not good.
Yeah, chip the walls when you walk past.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
I'm actually calling this break for a raccoon day.
Okay.
Because there's lots of raccoons moving around right now, early in the morning. And I see a lot of them that don't make it on the roads.
Yeah.
So we need to brake and drive a little more slow during those areas and
stay alert.
Stay alert so we can let our raccoon friends cross the road.
Yeah. We've got a little neighborhood group at the moment.
Yeah.
It's cute seeing the mums and the babies.
And the babies.
But also then there's some territorial disputes happening. There was one this morning. I'm like, oh, someone's upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we all have territorial disputes, or we all have disputes in the house. So.
We do. And they're living in our world, and we're living in their world, so let's try to live together. And so slow down, break, watch for those raccoons in the mornings, and let's try to avoid them.
It's when I first come to the States, people were talking about trash pandas, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Raccoons.
Is that what they call them?
Well, some people do. My wife's from East Coast, but trash pandas.
They're so cute.
They are.
Oh, my gosh.
Why don't you don't upset them?
Yeah.
Give them their space.
Right. Well, you know, and they're just cute. I just, you know, it's hard to recognize one after another because I always have their masks on. So. So, anyway, they're adorable. So, anyway, break for a raccoon day.
There you go.
That's going to be.
You could start something here.
Yeah. Well, we just started it.
That's what it's going to be.
Done. So bring awareness to raccoons on the road.
What's the date?
In the nights and early morning. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
So today's the day. What is today, by the way? It's the 8th. August 8th.
7/8.
7/8. 8/8.
I'm way behind. There you go. 8/8.
August 8/8. That's break for raccoon day. So.
Yeah. We had finished a project yesterday at the Animal Rescue League.
What was that?
The team and I, I was looking at our, for anyone that's been out there, for our horse paddock. Unfortunately, horse paddocks, horses wear stuff down. So it becomes a bit of a vast looking area.
Right.
So on the exterior of our horse paddock, we opened up grazing trails.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
So we actually set up two new areas. And what that means is we always talk about allowing animals to express natural behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those behaviors is naturally grazing. And the thing is, we can shut it off, send them different ways. I made a little maze. Barrier system out of the big concrete road barriers that we had that we used to use there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to negotiate that, and then we'll be putting different substrates like rock and all for when, because the idea is these animals have come in, these horses have come in through cruelty and neglect. So they, you know, we've had unfortunately horses in a foot full of feces in a stall and never got out. So they don't understand how to be a horse, what they're going to experience in the world. So our whole program is geared maybe not to be the best riding horse in the world, but definitely a horse that you can do what we call husbandry. So you can do all your farrier and treatments and brushing and all the care type factors, as well as time goes by, we do saddle work. But they can then during the day be a horse. And, you know, we've got hay feeders and everything else, but it gives them, we can change those environments up. So it's really environmentally stimulating for them. So it's good for their mental well-being as well as their physical well-being. So it was really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
So they're enjoying it.
Great. That's great. Nice to give those things to the, you're talking about the rock by a certain area or sand. And I mean, that's just the natural substances that these horses would be walking on in if they were loose.
Exactly.
And it's so good and healthy for their hooves.
Yeah. And some of them may never have experienced it, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Education.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. Well, we had quite a few questions actually submitted this week.
You better do those.
And you can call in at 284-1040, but you can also submit questions online during the week. And you do that on our website, www.arl-iowa.org. And there's a section on there for ARL Animal Connection. And people can submit questions, and we'll answer them on the next show that comes up. So yep. One of the questions... it was kind of interesting, but that family is talking, they're going to get a new dog. And she said she has, you know, 4 kids under the age of 12. And she said, you know, things can get kind of rambunctious in the house. And what she's wondering is as they get the new dog, you know, are there things they should be doing with the dog just to make sure this is successful? So, you know, things to watch for, certain training things she should be doing. I mean, kind of how you would get a dog that's kid friendly, but to be in a home with, you know, number of kids younger
friends,
in age.
Right. Friends coming
and
over.
And they're friends. And, you know, I take her point well, because I'm sure we, you know, I mean, I grew up with a dog. We had friends over all the time. So how do you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Biggest thing is... Once you've selected your dog, but you want to select a dog that, you know, hopefully is middle of the road, not too shy. But sometimes we don't know that. So,
right.
A couple of things we can do. The dog is start off, of course, with the family. Positive association. When the noises are happening, let the kids have playtime, and let the dog know that that's a good time. So what unfortunately we do is. Or animal people, is they wait for the animals to do something wrong and then they try and correct it. What I look at is every time somebody says, I have a problem, you know, my dog's doing this, I go, what would you like it to do? So when the kids are playing, what would you like the dog to do? Lie on its bed quietly, sit with them. So say
it's... Play with them?
Play with them. Yeah, play that game, but then set the guidelines and the rules. So when the play gets too rough, the play stops. You know, if the kids are playing video games, you like the dog to hang out. Put a container of treats there and reward the dog for lying down quietly, because everyone waits for the dog to get up and go, oh, lie back down. The dog's going, well, I've been lying here for an hour and I got nothing.
Right.
So I'm not doing this anymore. So look for the things you want, because anything you reward, it's more likely to reoccur.
Yeah.
So it gets better. And then you can fade the treats out, but it's all about the training, teaching them. We teach our kids how we want them to behave in certain contexts. Teach our pets the same thing. Then is the not now if you find your dog's a little bit unsure, reactive, through the years I had a dog that did not like children for whatever reason. So we still had kids come over our house. So what we taught him was, when you hear a child, you go to your crate and we put a rope, and he used to shut his door.
That's funny.
And then he'd have a high value reward in there. So the kids weren't a bad thing. The kids actually meant, I'm gonna go to a safe place. So keeping the dog safe, keeping the kids safe, and you got a, and it's not a big deal, because it was a high value rewards in there for them. So peanut butter Kong, appropriate high value chew toys, things like that. So you can teach your dog, even though I may not be a social dog with kids, but I can still be safe and manage them around. So teach them that the noises, the kids, teach them all the things you want them to do, and that it's fun and safe. The dog. I met a little Labrador puppy the other day and gets somewhat excited and jumps around. So what we do is, as we did little exercises of let's get excited and throw the dog treats, and they go, oh. So I'll look on the ground while everyone's running around being excited, because that's more rewarding than jumping on people.
Yeah.
So it's called a competing exercise. I can't be inappropriate when I'm doing something else.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, and I think to your point too is if you have a dog that maybe doesn't love kids, yeah, obviously your dog's still part of your family as well.
For sure.
You can put the dog into a different situation.
Yeah.
A kennel, another room, yep, something.
Yeah, I'm doing that with a pig at the moment.
That's funny.
I got a pig call yesterday. And it's just because what you're doing is letting everyone know that everything's okay.
Yeah.
And the kids know it's okay, the family knows, the dog knows it's okay, because if you keep compounding or adding to it, it's only, of course, going to get worse.
Right.
So, and we can set, you know, we have drop-in classes, we have one-on-one classes at the Animal Rescue League that we can just work on that one particular issue. So you don't have to sign up for the 5-6 week classes. Come in if you're not sure, because it's sometimes it's, I get the, you know, even me with, well, we all do. A mechanic can talk to me on how to do something.
Right.
And I've got an idea because I have some mechanical knowledge. But then when he shows me, I'm like, Now I really get it.
Yeah.
I understand it, and now I can get it.
Yeah.
So.
And we can do those by, you know, with technology today,
yes,
too.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can also just maybe call in, set an appointment, and do it from via
the internet.
Right, exactly. So you can watch it that way as well. Yeah, we do that with cats, too. I mean, there are, mm-hmm, people have cats and maybe their life changes and, you know, they have kids or grandkids and, mm-hmm, stuff coming over and the cat's stressed out and da-da-da. You can, we absolutely, you know, recommend that as well. You can set your cat up in a separate room while you have kids around, or, you know, I mean, when we had multiple cats, I would tell, you know, the grandkids, okay, all of them are great except the orange one. Do not, yep, you know, and we would just take our orange one, whose name was Jack, and set Jack up in a separate room because Jack wasn't a huge fan of kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Management.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, we have a lot more questions to answer, too, but 284-1040. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll keep
the WHO.
You're listening to ARL Animal Connection, part of our new, more live and local weekends on News Radio 1040 WHO.
Welcome back, everyone. ARL Animal Connection with Carol and Mick. If you've got any fun stories, questions for us, 284-1040, please give us a call. If you've got some updates that you've chatted to us before.
Yeah.
Even if it's not going so well, because we'd still love to
help.
We want to get there. We
right.
want to help.
Which I think is a really good point to make, too, because like with cats, we have, you know, basically, you know, top 10 reasons cats are using the litter box.
You yes.
give you an example. So we may talk to you and think, okay, let's try this and this, and those don't work. Well, there's still 8 more to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And sometimes it's a combo, and sometimes it's more than one. So, I mean, just kind of from that standpoint, you know, call us back if it's not working.
Yeah, sometimes you talk to somebody and they go, oh, I'll give that a try. And I say, give me a call in a week or so and let me know.
Right.
And you never hear. And it's like,
did it work? Like,
must have worked.
Yeah.
Or did it work? The cat didn't come into the shelter, so.
Right, yeah.
Or dog or whatever. Or the pig. It's not a shelter.
Yeah,
one of
so what is, with the pig? So
The pig has turned a year old and sleeps on the recliner with mum.
Okay.
But mum now can't move.
Because the pig's gotten big?
The pig's biting.
Oh, okay.
So she's wearing her rubber boots, the high...
Okay.
Because now the pig's coming around and just biting her when she's prepping in the kitchen.
Oh, yikes.
So she's decided to feel her way and let mum know, try and boss mum around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Yeah, we've put some strategies in place for that one.
The pigs are so smart.
They are.
They're amazing
oh, yeah.
smart. So, well, hey, it looks like we have Chris on the phone with a question. Hey, Chris, how you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good. I listen to you all the time, and then I'm like, you know, I think I'll just call in today. Well, I'm a huge animal lover. I usually have cats. I live in the country, so I have a multitude of stray cats. But nice. I have a friend who has a dog. It's about a year old or so. Rambunctious. It's a pointer, I think, or a hunting dog. And then my daughter also has a little dog that's maybe on the Jack Russell Terrier side, and that little dog's about maybe 7 months old. Both these dogs, when they come and visit me, these dogs have to jump up on you when they're greeting you, and it's like, how do you, you know, you can say, no, don't jump, or, you know.
Yep.
What's, is there any miracle trick to help them not jump up? You know, if you're sitting down, they want to put their paws on you, and not that I don't love that, but, you know, it's summertime, you have shorts on, your legs get scratched, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
What's a good, is there a good trick? I mean, is it the owners that need to work on that, or is it the dog?
Well, even if the owners don't work on it, you can. It's like we mentioned grandkids before. The grandkids might have a set of rules at grandma's and grandpa's, and there's a different set of rules at home, different set of rules at school. So, well, yeah, you know that one.
Yeah.
So what we can do is, what would you like them to do? Obviously not jump up on you. So, couple of things we can do is, when depending on whether you mind throwing treats on the floor or anything else, what I like, one of the ones I like to do is, when the dogs approach me, is I do a quick scatter of high value treats. So that high arousal time is when I see, or when the dogs see you, Chris, is they go, there's Chris, let me look on the floor, because you can't jump up when your head's down. That also gives them time to calm down. And then you could have another treat in your hand, get them to sit. And now what they learn is, when I see Chris or Grandma, I run over, look to see if she's given me any prizes. Then I put my butt on the ground, and then I get rewarded. And we can fade those rewards out over time. But what happens with that is that the next, as they get really good at that, and we're talking, you know, depending on how often they visit, like if you do it every day, of course, it can be much better. But if it's once a week or once every 2 weeks, it might take 6 visits. But it won't take long. Probably take 3 visits, but because they get the idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that not fast?
Yes, I was gonna
is
say,
that not fast enough? Is that good or bad?
Pardon?
Is that good or bad? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, it's good, because I don't see either one that often, because we're all COVID, you know, but I live in the country, so they each visit, or, you know, I have, you know, my friend pop over or whatever, but I just, you know, I don't mind just sitting there. I'd like to pet the dogs and just visit with the, you know, but they're just always, the little puppy I can see, you know, she's trying to get her trained a little more on other things too, but it's like, my gosh, you know, I just don't like my legs all scratched up, or you go to pet them and they're up in your face. But that is a great, great idea.
Yeah, because what they learn is then you don't even have to fade the treats out if you don't want to. Why wouldn't you want to go to grandma's and get a bonus prize?
Yeah.
You know, but what?
Well, my one friend, his dog doesn't come inside. She's pretty rambunctious, and she's always, you know, maybe she's gone down to the creek or something, so I don't even have her in the house, but I could still work on do that when she comes here too. So then they're not so worried about jumping on me when they see me, but you're right, looking for the treats. Well, I'll let you on to another caller, but that's a great idea.
No, and we have others too, but if you want to try that one, that would be my first preference.
Well, I'll take one more idea in case.
Yep, for sure. The other thing is, when they visit is, and we were talking about it earlier, is we shouldn't let the animal rehearse the behavior you don't want. So the other one would be to walk them in on leash, you know, so you've got a safety line so they can't do it. Then you put yourself just a little bit further away so they can't jump on you, and have your treats out. And as soon as 4 are on the floor, that's what you pay. Because some people can't throw treats on the floor, of course, you know, or don't like to do that. And they have to be good treats too. You know, if you give them a bit of dog food, they're like, really? I'd rather jump on you. Because even when you push me, touch me and tell me no, well, you talk to me, you touch me, and this is great. You know, so that's the other way, having safety lines so they can't jump on you, and then start teaching them what you want them to do.
Yeah, I did try that with my friend's dog when he was here helping me do some outdoor work, and he leashed the dog up. And
yep.
So that's what I did. I put my chair over here, but then the dog, you know, looks at me and I'm like, hey, come on.
Taught you well.
Too, so
as soon as he made a noise.
So the tree thing,
sorry. Yep.
the tree thing, that's a good idea for my daughter's little dog. I think that probably would work to calm her down when she comes, and you know, she gets real excited to get here and
fabulous
run around free. And
now if two of them visit at once, make sure we spread those treats out so they don't compete over them. Okay, we don't want to cause problems either.
Oh yes for sure. All right, well thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Good luck. Let us know.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
Great question.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I mean, we get lots of inquiries about jumping dogs.
It's not an uncommon one.
Right.
And
yeah,
it often starts when they're puppies because it's cute.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they become a little bit bigger.
Right.
Not so cute.
Right.
Or you're in your work clothes or your stockings and there's another pair gone.
Well, I don't know about your bulldogs, but mine pretty much wouldn't expend the energy to, you know, jump up on me. So anywho, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll keep answering questions. 284-1040.
Right now, today's top stories from Des Moines News, Traffic, and Severe Weather Station. News Radio 1040 WHO. You're listening to ARL Animal Connection, part of our new, more live and local weekends on News Radio 1040 WHO.
Welcome back, everyone, to 84-1040. You're with Mick and Carol on ARL Animal Connection. We've got the giggles happening here.
I do. Sorry. Okay. All right. I get myself gripped.
I was talking about my chickens, and one isn't looking well. Her hair she molted and didn't really grow back properly. So.
And I'm not laughing at the chicken.
No.
No.
It's okay. My facial expression.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yes. So.
Anywho.
284-1040. We have trivia time.
We do. So, and the first person who answers the question correctly, we will send you out something.
Yes.
So, do you want me to give the question, or do you want me to give the question?
You got this one
okay,
today.
And, and of course, because it's Break for a Raccoon Day.
On the 8th of the 8th.
August 8th, Break for a Raccoon Day, and that's today. So, there was a raccoon that actually lived in the White House. So, we want to know what president had this raccoon that lived in the White House. So we need the name of the U.S. president.
He has it. Did he have it as a pet?
He did. Yes, he had it as a pet. So
we'll ask people not to do that.
Yeah, do not have one as a pet. But we're just saying what president did have this one as a pet in the White House. 284-1040. The first person with the correct answer, we will send you out something, and we'll tell you all about this whole situation as soon as we get the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if you do find one that might be injured or you're setting traps and you can't release it, whatever that may be, check with your local animal control. There is also some wonderful, wonderful wildlife rehabilitators. Let the experts look after them and get them back to where they need to be.
Yeah, they're wild animals. They're not supposed to be living in your home. So
no, let alone the disease risks and everything else that goes with it.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. So we're not promoting this whatsoever. And it looks like we have lots of callers, but our first caller is Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Great. What do you think?
Calvin Coolidge.
That's exactly right. Good job. Did you know that, or did you have to look that up?
No, I one of the very few facts that I learned while growing up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Calvin Coolidge. So his raccoon was actually named Rebecca and lived in the White House with him for part of his presidency. So you stay on the phone, and we're going to get your address and send you out something, okay?
Great, thank you.
Great, thank you so much, Dan.
And thanks to everyone else that called in as well. There's
that was
a fair
quick,
few people popped.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing what sticks in your head sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Little facts and trivia.
So, and the background to this was that, you know, at the time, raccoon wasn't actually an uncommon sight for people to eat the raccoon meat, but President Coolidge basically was more interested in adopting her than anything else. So he basically took this raccoon in, named her Rebecca. She became part of the family. She actually got an engraved collar for Christmas from him. was involved in, you know, events and would accompany President Coolidge on walks around the White House grounds. And actually, it's, you know, obviously we're saying don't have wild animals as pets. But at the time, President Coolidge actually had a bobcat, a goose, a donkey, a couple lions, an antelope, a wallaby, all his pets. So back at the time, he had these animals, and Rebecca the raccoon became one of them.
Wow.
So there's some background for us.
Yeah, times have changed.
Times have changed.
With keeping wild animals as pets, and we need to understand that. So.
Yeah, they're truly, I mean, they're wild animals. They're really not happy, probably. I mean, it's kind of like we talk about feral and semi-feral cats. You know,
exactly.
They don't want to necessarily be in your house. They want to be in their communities.
Yeah.
So, anyway, interesting trivia. So, okay, so we have
more questions.
Yeah, we do have more questions. It's which is great. You can call in with them 284-1040 and submit them online as well. We have a woman who has a German Shepherd, and she said she has completely formed this bad habit. This is all her fault and her responsibility, but she fed her dog off the table constantly, even let the dog, you know, eat off her fork, I mean, from the table. And she's like, you cannot believe now.
See, I'm not surprised. It happens.
There's no surprise in you whatsoever. And, of course, she said now it's just become really obnoxious, and she can't even really eat. I know you're not surprised at all. So she doesn't know what to do. She said, you know, I've tried telling it no. I mean, nothing's working. And she's wondering if you can help her figure out how to undo the damage she's done.
And you'll hear me say it again. What would you like them to do?
Right.
So that's not a, not eat off my fork. Don't bother me at the table.
Right.
So on and so on.
Yeah.
So we've trained all these inadvertently. We've trained, and we do it. We all do it. All these habit, all these behaviors now that we decide, eh, maybe not.
Yeah.
And that happens too when, you know, I live with my pets the way I like to live with them, but if I had somebody move into my house, they may not be accepting of them.
Right.
So we can always change behavior.
Right.
But if
Well, to add to that, I mean, I think the interesting thing about this, too, is that she really went into it with, you know, the dog was sitting there, and she just give it a little bit, and then it just exploded. Like
Dog trained her well.
Right. And so...
So how can we change behaviors?
Yeah.
Again, what would you like them to do? So maybe you've got a lot of history there that we have to turn around, so it takes a little bit of time and effort. And so while you're eating at the table, to remove the dog completely and do, you know, put in a crate or do all those could be extremely stressful.
Mm-hmm.
For some dogs, it could go, okay, and have a again, we can't just cut them off cold turkey. The idea is to slowly change it into another behavior that's and has to be higher value than what you were giving. So if they, you know, we start teaching them why I eat, so why I do this, you do that. Now that might be in proximity. Instead of feeding them every second mouthful, you go to every fourth or fifth mouthful. So you start to fade it away and into something else. Now, if you've got a dog that if, for one of mine, for example, if I said, here's a peanut butter Kong, if you go in your crate while I'm eating, they go, okay, you know.
Because they think the Kong is
higher,
better. Yeah, than with you when you're eating.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or if you're making dinner and they like that type, you know, that's what they've become accustomed to, put that in a dish near your table and they eat through that. You can get slow feeder dishes so they don't just scoff it down then come and annoy you.
Right.
So it start teaching them, you're still going to get good stuff, it's just not from me.
Yep.
So you can preload it. And there are feeders as well. So there's remote feeders now that you can sit at the table, put food in the feeder and push a button. And so I don't get fed here, I get fed over there.
Yeah.
So... lots of different angles, could really explore lots of different things. Would love if they could contact us at the Animal Rescue League, because I'd like to know, one, how far we can go with this dog, in which direction due to its personality.
Right.
Because if it is going to cause stress by doing a big change, of course we don't want to do that. So we have to see if we're going to do smaller increments and what we can do. And the other big thing, like I was saying before, it has to be workable for you.
Right.
That's why I asked Chris before, can you throw treats on the floor? because some people in their house, they may not want to throw, or got carpet, or yep. whatever it may be. So it always has to be workable for you and your pet.
Yep, yep. Looks like we have Kenny from Ottumwa on the phone about his cat. Let's talk to Kenny this morning. Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Hi, folks.
Hey, Kenny.
I have a quick question, and I have a comment for you, Carol, about your hair.
Okay.
Because I have long hair down the middle of my back. But anyway, I have a feral, I have an indoor cat that's just terrified of the outside. But I want to share stuff with her. I love her. So I want to take her out in the yard with me, her, and just walk around with her and let her see stuff. But my God, she fights to go back in, and she's like a hand of lightning. Is there a way to acclimate a cat to the outside so she would get used to it gradually? You know, so you just walk around with her in your arms, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we could definitely give you some thoughts about how to get her acclimated to enjoying, you know, being in your arms. But I will say that if she's scared to go outside, I'm not sure we probably want to push that too much. You sound like, Kenny, you sound like a person who really obviously loves her and wants to be with her. But for her to be happy, she may just need to be hanging with you inside. Now, are there things you can do to get her comfortable? For example, you pick her up and you carry her, but when you pick her up, you start giving her treats. And when you go outside, you start giving her treats. It's all that kind of stuff that says, okay, when you go outside, you're going to get these treats while we're walking around. I don't know if this might take a while. I don't know if the treat would trump her fear of being outside. It may not. I get it. I've got a couple cats myself that, like, I open the door, they wouldn't go outside if I tried to get them out there.
Don't you just hate that in a way?
Well,
want to share stuff with them.
You do, but I also really don't want them to be afraid, you know?
Yeah.
Mick, I don't know if you've got some comments on this too, but you may just want to let her be inside.
Yeah, she's telling you how she feels and what she wants.
Me being there with her is not enough.
No.
No, the world is a scary place.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think of it from her point of view, she's telling you what she's happy with. The only other thing I could think of, Carol, is maybe a catio on a window that you could sit on.
Yeah. It wouldn't be right necessarily with you, Kenny, but, you know, there are those portable catios you can get. These days you can buy them and they're not overly expensive. It's kind of like a portable screened-in area that you could
set in a window up against the screen.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's possible. She might go into one of those then, and that would be a, you know, possibility. They're freestanding. Normally, you can set them up. There'd probably be room for a chair, you know, for you if you get the big enough one. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's building them a little enclosure off a window or onto your porch through a window so you can sit out there. But they have a choice. You're not forcing her to do it.
Yep.
And she can go at her own pace.
And it keeps her safe.
It keeps her safe.
Because she's already afraid. That way, if anything else happens while she's outside,
she's terrified.
Yeah.
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 I mean, just outright just scared out of her brain.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want her to feel like
that. No.
And I'm sure you don't either.
Okay, Carol, I better pass on my tip to you so you guys
please
can
do.
Go on.
Please do.
I stumbled upon this, and I have hair like yours. It absorbs what? Is it called humidity?
Yes.
And poofs out.
Yes.
So, okay, now, this, I stumbled upon this, and it's relatively affordable. It's Paul Mitchell.
Okay.
It absorbs right into your hair.
Okay.
Right smack. And you don't even feel it on your hands. You don't even have to wash your hands from the residue because there is no residue.
Oh, that's great. I'll give that a try. Thank you for that.
Paul Mitchell.
I got it. Thank you so much.
I know that sounds like an advertisement, but okay. So I'll let you guys go. You've been swell.
Well, thank you
so much,
thanks,
Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
So we have gardening tips, we've had hair tips, and animal tips. You got everything here.
Well, I'm sure I need a lot more, so we'll just see how that goes.
Does it come in 50-gallon drums?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
We're talking over each other, sorry. When we were talking about horses earlier, just want to remind people that today from 10:30 to 1, we have Help a Horse Day out at the Cridenier Second Chance Ranch at our main location. And, of course, this is to help awareness. There's going to be the Polk County Mounted Patrol out there riding jousting teams.
That's very fun.
Not doing the full-on simulated jousting.
Yep.
So you're going to see lots of horse activities. That starts at 10:30, and with the Polk County horse guys presenting out there. So lots of fun stuff. Get to meet our animals and see what a fun day to help out our horses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are coming up on another break, so we'll take our break. And we come back, we'll kind of wrap up. And so,
1040 WHO.
You're listening to Connection, part of our new, more live and local weekends. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Welcome back, everyone. We're finishing up. Our hour's gone quick. It's been great.
It has gone quick. Well, not great that it's gone quick, but...
great that we've had some good calls and good questions.
Yeah, it's been very exciting.
It has. Break for Raccoon Day.
Absolutely. August 8th. I'm telling you, we're going to start seeing that out there, and it's going to have started here. Break for Raccoon Day.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe we should just come up with a whole series of new dates that we like. You know, Break for Raccoon, Appreciate Opossum Day, you know.
Dance with Your Dog.
Dance with Your Dog Day, you know.
Cuddle a Cat Day.
Hoot with an Owl Day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't even mean to do that.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
See how exciting it is?
Exactly. So, Snapper Turtle Saturday. I mean, you know.
It's just endless.
It is. We could have a whole series.
I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm like, but then I'm not talking, so I better not. I'm thinking of more days.
I'm just saying, you know, This is the Airall Animal Connection. And yes, we focus a lot on dogs and cats and rabbits and domesticated animals. Mm-hmm. But we also do talk about and appreciate wildlife. Last week, we were talking about the bear in the kiddie pool.
In the kiddie pool. That was awesome.
So we could have a bear day. You know, bear hug day or something.
Just go out and bear hug people.
That might get us in trouble. So no. But, you know, I'm just saying. Honeybee Day.
I couldn't bear it.
Where you couldn't bear it. Very good. See where we're going with this? Yep. I think we could have a whole thing here.
We could have Cuddle a Kitten Day, and there's a good place where you can do cuddling kittens.
That was a beautiful segue,
by the way.
Which is the Cat Cafe in Valley Junction.
Yes.
Yes, we talked about it last week. It opened about a week and a half ago. There's a coffee and cats, and it's a cat cafe in Valley Junction, 312 5th Street. It's open today from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. It's open Sundays 10 to 5. It's closed on Monday, but otherwise it's open 7 to 8 on Tuesday through Friday. But it is such a cool place, and I had sent some friends there, and they've been texting me. I had another friend that stopped in there and then sent me an email last night and said it's the coolest place ever. But you can go in, you can get coffee, but there's Animal Rescue cats there for adoption.
And you can adopt from there.
You can adopt from there, so you can sign up for a time, for an hour to go in and hang with the cats and read and watch some TV or something. And there's, you know, 12 or so cats there. And they'll come, they'll sit on your lap, they'll sit on the back of the couches, there's comfy chairs, get some coffee and go in there. Or if you just want to watch them and you don't necessarily want to, you know, go in and sit with them, there's a whole big, whole wall of windows so you can sit and even watch from there or not. There's little cafe tables for coffee if you don't want to.
Yep. Got everything.
It's so cool. It is so cool. So go there. Check it out, everyone.
And we talk about being able to spend the time with the pet to get to know the pet before you adopt.
Yep.
What a better way. There's not a better way to do it.
No. And the nice thing for me, looking at it, it's just so relaxing for the cats. So, like, it's almost like, you know, a home scenario. So, like, you're sitting at a couch and a cat comes over and jumps up on your lap. And, I mean, it's really, It's so cool. And she had put, you know, steps and shelves going up, you know, up the walls.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I wonder where that comes from.
Yeah, exactly. I think we might help with that a little bit. But but she definitely wanted to do that. That was her whole concept to open this and have that. And we were lucky enough, you know, to get to meet Mary early and talk to her. And but she's done this. She's done this. This is her thing. She's put this together. And it's so cool for the cats. And thank you to her for allowing Animal Rescue the cats to be there. We have so many cats for adoption all the time. And so we appreciate it very much. So go out and visit this place. You'll have so much fun.
I love the garden windows where they come out.
Yes.
So they can actually sit off outside the wall.
Yeah.
So it's not just the window. They can see the sides as well and get a better view. They're really cool.
It was cool. When I was there, one of the cats had been sitting with somebody and just must have, you know, was like, I just kind of want to go lay down. So he went over and he jumped up on the stairs going up the wall to a box. And then he got up on top of the box and he was sleeping, you know. So like 6 feet up, he's sleeping safely up there just to, you know, separate himself for a little bit. Later he comes back down, you know, hangs with the people. Yep. So it's really cool. It's really neat.
Nice.
So go visit that. 312 Fifth Street opens this morning at 9 o'clock and visit with the Animal Rescue League cats. So
we're out of time.
We're out of time in a world where you can be anything. Be kind.
And don't forget,
pop forward. Have a great day, everyone.
WHO Des Moines, an iHeartRadio station, and KDRB 100.3 HD2 Des Moines. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. Right now, today's top stories from Des Moines News, Traffic, and Severe Weather Station. News Radio 1040.